Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you. You have to be connected to the King of Kings. Hallelujah, huh? Amen. Amen. God is a good God, people. God is a good God. All the time. All the time. Amen. Before we go on, there's, I know Marjorie we need to pray for. That's why they're not here. Pray for Marjorie. Father, we just come before you this day. And Lord, we lift her up. And Father, we pray for a healing to be upon her heart and upon her life. Touch her by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's take our word. Let's make our dedication before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word gives life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God is a good God, people. Amen. We do want to welcome everyone here, and we pray that the anointing of the Spirit of God would be upon your heart and upon your life this morning. I want to read something to you before we get into the text. In John chapter 3, it says this. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Here we see, we've all started out on our journey. We were born of the water. That's the womb, the water breaking. But we have to be born of the Spirit. That means being born again. That means accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. As our Lord and Savior. Accepting him as our God and saying, Jesus, you are my God. And I will accept you into my heart and I will live for you from this day forward. I want to ask you the question, have you accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life? Is he your God this morning? Is he the one that lives on the inside? Is he the one that has forgiven you of all your sins, the evil and all the sins that we have committed? See, we know this, but yet have we received him as Lord and Savior? You might say, well, Pastor, I once knew him, but maybe I went astray a little while, and now I'm trying to come back. Well, then maybe you need to accept him as Lord and Savior again. You know, Jesus is one that will never say, don't come. Amen. You know, when the little children, when they were coming to Jesus, and the disciples got in front of them and said, oh, no, 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 no. He's too busy of a man. You can't come to him. No. Jesus got upset and he said, let these children come to me. And then he said, disciples, let me teach you something. Unless you become like them, their innocence and their heart towards God, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Saying that we have, not that they, we know children aren't perfect. We know we weren't perfect by far. Amen. But he said we have to be like them, be born again to enter into the kingdom. I want to ask you a question. Have you been born again? Have you accepted Jesus? I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join anything but the kingdom of God. Because you see, one day One day, every one of us will lay down and we will close our eyes for the last time. And will we walk in to heaven, to those pearly gates, the road that is made of gold, and be with our Father for eternity? That's a long time. Eternity never ends. Or will we go to another place? Because without Jesus, Jesus is the only door. The only door to this church going outside as far as the front is that door right there. There's no other door. We have a back door, but that's the front door. There's only one door to enter in into heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ. Oh, if you wouldn't mind, just bow your heads for a minute. And I want to ask you a very personal question. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you would have not done so, are you saying, I did it at one time, but I've strayed away and now I need to come back? Would you just raise your hand? I'm the only one looking, no one else. Raise your hand saying, I need Jesus. I need him. I need him to cleanse me of my sins. I need him to cleanse me of all the evil in my heart. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Come on, people. The Spirit of God is moving. Don't resist the devil. Don't resist him. Don't resist God. Let God work and move in your heart and life. Anyone else? I just want to make sure. Amen. Amen. Let's all pray together, because we have somebody that raised their hand and that God is working on. Let's all pray together, okay, to help that person out this morning. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead and you're seated at the right hand of the Father just for me. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. I will live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you can look this way. Welcome to the family. Just think of this. Whoever raised their hand and whoever said the prayer from their heart, your name has been written, it says, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, look, that's a book that God has, a book of remembrance too, another book. In the Lamb's Book of Life. No one can take it out of there. That means when we get to heaven, he's looking. Your name's there. Your name. No one can take it out. The devil can't take it out. You can't really take it out. You have Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that has written that name down. Your name, whatever it is, in that book. And you know what? No one can be in heaven without their name written in there. Written in there. Amen. So welcome. Okay, amen. God saith in the last days that he would pour out his Spirit. And really, the pouring out of his Spirit, we want to see signs, miracles, wonders, and all that stuff. But I tell you what, the greatest sign, the greatest miracle is when people come back to God and repent of their sins or have never known God and ask God to forgive them and are born again. That is the greatest miracle ever known to mankind. A great revival is taking place in America. I know we're seeing all and we're thinking, oh my God. But I tell you what, a great revival is coming to America like we've never seen before, of souls of people that are desperate for somebody to care about them, that are desperate for a God that will love them, that are desperate for God just to be with them and help them. Because I tell you what, this world will tear you up. It will tear you up. But I tell you what, we have a God that takes care of us. We have a God that cares about us and loves us. Loves us. Can you imagine? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords cares so much about you and I that he died on the cross for us so that we would not be lost in eternity forever. My God. You might say, well, I'm good enough. Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. It says that our goodness our goodness is like filthy rags unto him, that it's not worth anything. No, no, no. We need the blood of Jesus. We need him. It's not just a want, but a need in our lives because we are serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay. Romans 15:5. God, we're going to go through these things. This will probably be the last week.
This is so good.
Well, thank you.
Cut it out and
off the table. Amen. Yes, I've learned a lot too, so thank you, Lord. Romans 15:5. It says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus. From the time we were born again and we gave our hearts to the Lord, we started on our journey and our walk with God. And God is looking to do a great and mighty thing in us and through us. He's looking to help you. He's looking to help you to become the greatest person you could ever be upon this earth. Can you imagine? Let's say we live to 80, 90 years of age. And
yeah,
we look. Oh, you. We have two. All righty. Amen. You're a blessing. That's a blessing from the Lord. Old age is a blessing from God. I mean, really. You know, because you're hearing of so many young people passing away. Their lives are being cut short. That's just part of the wickedness of evil, just trying to take lives, you know. And I know certain things, diseases and things happen, you know, whatever. But God, that's a blessing. But God, you know, when we pass away, or we, you know, before we pass away, are we going to say, man, I really, Lord, you used me. You used me to help people, to spread the gospel, to help bring maybe food to somebody, help pray with somebody, or you pray with somebody for salvation, or you pray with somebody that needed a healing. I mean, God just put things upon your heart that moved within your heart, and he moved upon people's lives. As you close your eyes, will you say, Lord, thank you for what you've done in me and through me? You know, if it wasn't for Adam and Eve, we'd live forever. Forever. But still, we're going to live forever.
Yes.
We may not live forever in this physical body, but our spirits that are inside of us shall live forever with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. But here we see in Romans 15:5, it says, the God of patience and consolation, that he constantly is working from the time we got saved patiently. He's a patient God. He's not in a rush. I mean, sometimes we get in a rush, huh? Well, you're trying to get someplace and you're in a rush and they have somebody driving slow in front of you. Oh, my God. You just want to pass them up and tell them something, you know. But he's patient towards us, constantly by the Spirit of God working in us, showing us things, helping us. Because he's patient on the inside of us. Patiently, because he lives here in us. And also, as he is patient with us, we're all different, huh?
Yes.
And we all are different, and different things affect us differently. You know? So God works within our hearts and lives because he's made us who we are. And patiently works in us. Then it says that through the scripture, it says that he's a God of consolation, that he consoles us in our journey with Him. Yes. That we're not walking alone. That God is right next to us.
Yes.
Next to us. He is next to you. Don't ever believe what the enemy says, that you're alone and no one cares about you. That is false and from the wicked world out there. That is not truth. Not true. Number one, you have God that loves you. You might say, how do you know that? Because He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. We have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that is with us, that consoles us in everything that happens in our lives. Things hurt us. Huh?
Yeah.
Things hurt. But God is there to console us and to help us as we yield ourselves before our God, helping, letting Him do what needs to be done. We're not on this journey alone. God sent us His Son and then the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4, verse 8, it says that God is love, the God of love, that He loves you. You're on your journey with Him. You're walking. Remember, He loves you. He may not like everything about you or me. Huh. Sometimes we might have a little anger issue or, you know, a little whatever issues. Whatever it is. But that's God's job to take those things out of us. Okay? But He loves us. He loves us. He may not like everything we are, but He's working in us. Look. We got the better half, our God. He got the lesser half, us. Because we are a messed up people. The human race, because of the sin, and God knows it was, you know, because of the evil one that sinned and did, and they sinned. But it did something on the inside of it. It brought that sin nature. And so now God loves us and cares about us. He may not love everything about who we are, but He loves who we are in Him, which is we are children of the living God. We are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He loves you, it says. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And in verse 16 also it talks about that. Also, the next one, it says that He is a holy God, people. Our God is holy. And He is trying to work holiness in us by the Spirit of God. You ever said something and you felt, like you just knew the Spirit of God said, don't say that again. Or you ever did something and the Spirit of God convicts us. That's God, the Holy Spirit. He is holy and convicts us. That's who He is. He's working in us. Because we need help. He works in us as He loves us and cares about us in our journey and our walk with Him as we are upon this earth. Also, it says that He is faithful. Oh, my God. Revelation 19:11. It's coming on up. He is a faithful God. Look at this. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful. You can keep that one up. Look, our God is faithful.
Yes, yes.
He's faithful. He's more faithful than any person upon the earth.
Yes.
He is a faithful God to you. As you are on your journey and you're walking with Him and you're trying to serve Him and He's calling you to do this and that, He's faithful to supply. He's faithful to give what you need. He's faithful to be there for you. My God, just think of this. You can call upon God any day of the week, any time of the week. It doesn't matter where we are, and He will be there for us.
Yes.
My God, how more faithful can He be to us?
Yes.
In the good times, in the bad times, in the hard times, in the difficult times, in the good times, He's there, faithful unto His people. That's the kind of God we serve. Remember that. Don't let the devil tell you that God is not faithful. He is faithful, faithful, faithful. How faithful can, much more can He be? It says that the faithfulness of God in Psalms and Proverbs, that it rises from the earth to the heavens. His faithfulness is that far exceeds anything that humans, people have, humanity. Faithful is He to us. Faithful is He to us. No matter what we do, we can deny God, we can curse at God, we can tell Him we don't want Him and turn our face from Him and go do whatever we want to do like the prodigal son did. But I tell you, the one day as we're out there doing the evil, we turn and we say, God, I need You. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. The Spirit of God is there. Amen. My God, how faithful can He be? That He won't say, oh, no, no, you turned your face from me, that's enough. Go to that last final day of judgment. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. We can rely upon Him. We can pray to Him in our vehicles. We can pray to Him in our homes. We can pray to Him on our jobs. We can pray to Him in our churches. We can pray to Him, and He's faithful no matter what, because that's the kind of God we serve. Faithful is He. Don't let the enemy tell you He's not faithful, because what he's trying to do is erode your faith in your God, that He can't handle anything. But our God, we know, can handle anything. He defeated the enemy once on the cross, and He'll defeat him again when He comes back for His church. Wow, what a God we serve. Faithful is He. Also, it says in Revelations 19:11 that He's true. He's true. He's faithful and true. You can rely upon His word that He is a true God. He's true to us. When we read something in that word, we can hold it up and we can say, Lord, because it tells us to remind Him of that word. Not that God has forgotten, but He wants us to know it. To remind Him of how faithful He is. To remind Him that He will meet all our needs and desires according to His will. How faithful He is unto us. He's true to His word no matter what, people. True to His word. You can rely upon Him no matter what. No matter what. If it says that He will do this, He will keep His promise in this, well, God will keep His promise. It says that, let my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and I will come in and I will heal their land. God is waiting on the people of God. We're not waiting on government. We pray for our government. We pray for our leaders. But I tell you what, it takes God to move upon the earth. Also, it says at number 7, He's the Word of God. Oh, my God, the Word. The Word. How faithful and true is our God towards His Word. If He said it, you can bank on it. Years ago, when you made an agreement, you didn't have to sign 20,000 papers. Huh? I mean, you go buy a home, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, you better get you a pen full of ink, because you're going to need it just to sign all the papers. Go buy a new vehicle and see how many papers you have to sign. Go buy any vehicle, anything, it seems like. But I tell you what, years ago, you could do a handshake, huh? Farmers, they used to do handshakes, and they would agree. They kept their word. God is a man that keeps His word. You can learn that scripture. You can learn that word, because in 2 Timothy it says 2:15 that we're to study to show yourself approved unto Him. Study to show yourself approved. God requires us to read His word and get that in us, so that we know it and we can tell Him about it. We can remind Him, hey, God, this is what Your word says. This is what Your word says. And look, I'm sure that puts a smile on His face, knowing that His children are standing upon the rock of salvation, which is His word, which He is, the word of God. It says this, Revelations 19:16. Go to that scripture, please. It says, and He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we know he's coming back. And it says that he is coming back with that vesture dipped in blood. Dipped in blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Telling the people on the earth, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming as a victorious God. I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. And look, we can say to our God, he is your King. He is your Lord. He is your God. My Lord. We can claim that for ourselves. We can tell the enemy that our God is in control because he is the King of Kings over my life. He is the Lord of Lords over my life. No one else but him. No one else but him. My Lord. What a God we serve, people. Also, it says that he is a baptizer, like we talked about last week. It says that he will baptize his people. We know this. Born again, but it says that in later on in Acts chapter 2, and it says also in Luke that he is the baptizer. Acts chapter, baptizing them with fire, the fire of Almighty God, the fire, the Spirit of God, the baptizer. My God, what a God we serve. My God, what a God we serve. With fire. You might say fire. Well, that's just the power of Almighty God. You know, in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 9 or 10, it says when the Spirit of God fell upon the church, upon the believers. Acts chapter 2 was for Jews only. Acts chapter 9, I think it's 9 or 10, it was only for the Gentiles. But God didn't leave anybody out. He filled them with the Holy Spirit. He filled them with the Holy Spirit. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit? Seek God for it. Ask God every day. Say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I know a measure of faith comes in of the Spirit of God, but this is an overwhelming spirit field that comes upon a believer. You speak in tongues. Hey, I believe it. I know it. It's the fire of Almighty God, the fire of the Spirit of God. You see, in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 9, they didn't go out and win souls till they were filled with the Holy Spirit. God didn't let them go out of that place. If it had to be done for them, it has to be done for us also. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost upon our lives. We need the fire of the Spirit of God. We need to know when we wake up that, oh, devil, you better beware because I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. You cannot hold my children in bondage anymore. You cannot hold my spouse in bondage anymore. You cannot hold my grandchildren in bondage anymore. The fire of the Spirit of God. Can you imagine? It says the Word of God cuts to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's why we need to know the Word of God. It cuts the enemy's power over situations. You get up there and you quote that word. You might say, well, isn't that how Jesus defeated the enemy? Look, Jesus could have killed the enemy if he wanted to. But when the enemy came to him, you can read it in the Gospels, when the enemy quoted half the scripture. That's why we got to know it. Yeah. Half of it. And Jesus came back and quoted it all. And then quoted another one. It cuts to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. My God. He's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. He's the baptizer, our God, giving us the Spirit of God, the anointing, the Spirit of God. Let me tell you, pastors need the Spirit of God upon their lives. You know, we were talking to somebody and they would say they went somewheres, vacation something, and they went to their parents' church and they were saying, oh my God. They said it was so dead. It was dead. Dead. You don't realize how blessed you are. Gotta throw it in. I love you guys. I know you take it good. Yeah. Pastors that seek God. Yes. Seek God and say, Lord, we need your help. Lord, we need your help, Lord. And letting the Spirit of God move. Hey, look, we go through some tough battles. But I tell you what, God has given us the victory. 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 No matter what, no matter how it looks in the physical, we know when God's Spirit speaks, that's the truth.
That's right.
The Word of God is the truth.
Yes.
Not how we feel.
Yes.
Not what we think.
Yes.
But it's the Word of God that's the truth. The Spirit of God that's inside of you that can speak to you and give you spirit of life. And tell you what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to go, what to do. That's the Spirit of God leading us. We sang that song, Spirit lead us. We need, I want to say Holy Spirit lead us, because there's a lot of spirits. We know what we're talking about. We need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and help us to make the right decision. You know, when you're going out to buy a vehicle, ask God for the right one. You know, just the right one. Ask God for wisdom when you go buy a house. Ask God for wisdom where you should live. Ask God for wisdom where you should go to church. You know, we are bought with a price. When we give our lives to Him, which we have done, we have no choice in matters anymore. I said, well, I could do what I want. No, not no more. Unless you want to live a miserable life. And that doesn't mean everything we do is wrong, God only. But we are sold out to the King. We are sold out to Him. He is our God. He is our Lord. He leads and guides us. We have no choice anymore in the matter. I have no choice where God wants me to pastor. I love it here. Thank you, Lord, for sending me here. Thank you, Lord, for sending our family here. Thank you, Lord. Not that it's been easy, but I tell you what, God knows what He's doing. Because in the matter, He works on all of us and helps us to be what God wants us to be. He leads us, people, and guides us. That's God. Now, let's get to one more. One more. I want you to turn, if you would, to Exodus 34. Exodus 34, page, I think it's 176. Exodus 34:14. Oh, hallelujah. Let me look at this, people. Verse 14, it says, "For you shall worship no other God." Just that says, okay, Lord, there's only one we're to worship. We're to worship God the Father through Jesus Christ. That's all. That's all. He is declaring and telling them, don't worship or serve any other God except the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous. Ooh. Is a jealous God. Our God is a jealous God. That's the next one. He's jealous. Now, I'm not talking about an earthly jealousy like we have. You know, a sinful jealousy is strongly desire something belonging to someone else. There's nothing wrong. Let's just use vehicles, for example. There's nothing wrong in saying, oh, that's a nice vehicle. I mean, that's nice. Nice. So, you know what's wrong? Is when you go up to that vehicle and say, that's my vehicle. When it belongs to someone else. Now, you might say, well, can't I do that on the lot? Well, it doesn't belong to anybody. Okay. You know, if you can find one, a new vehicle on the lot. That's just like somebody told me, and I had to laugh because I said, it's so true. He said, you know, he said, the Lord spoke to him and he said this. There's nothing wrong in desiring something good, especially when God puts that desire in you. But he said, when I want those shoes that are on somebody else's foot, something's wrong. That's not the jealousy God is talking about, that He is a jealous God. That's not it. Remember this, and I'm going to try to go quick here because I know it's time-wise. God, it says, is a jealous God. When you got born again, you gave your life to Him. And when anything takes you away from Him, He's jealous towards that. Because you and I are His. That's a holy jealousy that God has towards us, the people, His people. When anything takes our attention away from God Almighty that's in us, takes the attention away from Him, that He does not like. Amen. He is jealous. He wants us with Him so much. He doesn't want things to steal our time. And you might say, well, I have to work, and God knows all this. But our desires, what we desire, what we want, anything that comes first before Him, He does not want. He's jealous towards that. And He will do, and that's talking about the enemy trying to steal your heart and turn it. That talks about people trying to steal your heart and turn it from Him. That talks about even us at times turning our hearts away from Him and going. Every time that I know of, because I've read a bunch of scripture, there's a bunch of scriptures about He's a jealous God. Every time that I've read, He was always talking about or talking to basically the Jewish people, and they were serving other gods. They were making gods of images of men and women. And their hearts were turned from the King of Kings to something else. That's just like, you remember when the miracle of when they came out of the Egyptian bondage and God got them to a place, the Red Sea, and there was nothing, they couldn't go forward, they couldn't go to the left, to the right, or the back because Pharaoh's army was behind them. And God told Moses, just point the staff. And that sea opened up and they got on, they went on dry ground. That's just a miracle in itself. Miracle of the water being, you know, separated and walled up that they could, millions of people, not just 100 or 200 or 300, millions of people and cattle and everything they possessed with their campers. All their stuff, you know. Got across, none of them got bogged down, none of them got stuck, animals galore because they had to bring animals so that they could eat, you know, all that stuff, and for the sacrifices. They got across, and Moses went to be with God. And what did they do? The richness that God gave them, they collectively got it together. And what did they do? They took the gold they had, and what did they make? A golden image, a calf. And what they were doing was worshiping a calf that God hates and that He does not like. And during that, He is a jealous God. He does not like anything to take our attention away from Him. We are to be sold out to Him. Can you? And Moses, it says that when he came, he could hear the noise of them. I mean, they worshiped this God. After seeing what the King of Kings and Lord of Lords had done in their hearts and lives, how quickly did they turn? Let me tell you this, if we don't stay tuned into God, seeking Him, honoring Him, how quickly can we turn from Him? How quickly can we turn and go towards other things and not even realize it at the moment? They thought Moses was dead. He had been up there 40 days or so. They thought he was dead. He was gone after a week. There's no way, they said, he can handle that. But they didn't realize that the King of Kings was still alive. The King of, and God, what did He do? He made Moses melt that calf down. What did he do with it? He threw it in their water and made them drink it. Look, that's a God that was a little angry. We got to stay firm within. Hey, look, that doesn't mean we won't make mistakes or do something wrong maybe, or you know, whatever. But I tell you, have a heart towards God continuously. Serve him with everything. He's a jealous God, people, towards us. He wants your love. Not that he needs it. He's love. We need him. We need him. He's jealous. He wants us to seek him and to honor him and to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let me tell you, as we do those things, God comes in and shows himself unto us, how he can move and change things on our behalf. That's the kind of God we serve. Praise be unto our God. It says in Scripture, in Joshua, I think, it says our God will never change. He never will. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a jealous God, people. He wants our attention. Now, he's not jealous towards Elder. He's jealous with us because we are his. And any time, anything takes our attention away, he wants it back. You might be saying, Pastor, I think I've gone a little astray a little bit. Ask God to forgive you. And you get things right with him. You might say, Pastor, I'm not praying like I used to pray or should be praying. And hey, I'm not saying those things that gain anything with God. But we have a desire to be with him because he's our God. We want to associate with him. We want to read his word because we love our God. We love who he is. We know how he's taken care of us and what he's done in our hearts and in our lives. He's jealous. There's many other scriptures. Just look it up, jealous. Holy jealous towards you and I. He doesn't want anything between him and us. He paid the price. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? We don't deserve it. That's the truth. We don't deserve Jesus Christ. We don't. We don't. But he knows what happened to the human race at the beginning of time and how the enemy, what he did in deceiving Adam and Eve and how he manipulated and what he did. There's no other one that we know of. There's no other people. There's no other angelic beings or anything that we know of in Scripture that Jesus, God sent his son Jesus to die for. Zero. We're the only ones. Can you imagine? Wow. Wow. Because of his love for us and his caring for our hearts and our lives. Amen. You may stand, please.